Commodity Week is made possible with support from AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for representative nearest you. Commodity Week is a production of listener-supported public radio at the University of Illinois. To learn more, visit us online at will.uiuc.edu.
The early corn numbers are big and wheat rallies to new contract highs. We'll try to find out what it all means for new and old crop prices today on Commodity Week. Welcome to Commodity Week. I'm Todd Gleason. Later in this half hour, we'll talk with Aaron Curtis of Midco in Bloomington, Illinois. Our panelists today are Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana, Kurt Kimball of Grainfield Marketing out of Normal, Illinois, and Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's open today's discussion with this question. I spoke with my brother today. He thanked me, rather sarcastically, by the way, for telling him to sell corn Thursday, and then suggested the 07-08 crops might have to move in different directions over the coming months, one down and one up. Do you think that might be right? Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services.
Special tip of the hat to you and the fine treatment you gave us over at the Farm Progress Show, and it makes, you know, the University of Illinois Ag Extension and Farm Program one of the best in the United States, and you proved it. It was a lot of fun, Todd, and WILL did a wonderful job. So tip of the hat for the good job.
Thank you, Paul.
As you mentioned, the corn crop is enormous, and I think it will tax the infrastructure of storage and transportation and possibly even the demand situation to the fullest. Demand with the smaller acreage and the bidding for acreage next year is an important factor. I think we do have to go lower, Todd, before we see the full picture and the rest of the story.
Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities?
Well, I have to agree with Paul. I think that this year is looking good. We have the acres out there. We've got huge acres. And I think somewhere, whether it's with the basis or whether it's with the board, and it seems to be being done a whole lot more with the basis on December 07 corn, but 08 corn is in a very much of a bidding war against beans and wheat, Todd.
And Kurt Kimmel.
Well, definitely. The 08 corn is probably going to have a lot of support down under it. It held 390 this past week. There's willing buyers because you do the math in some of these surveys, a lot less corn acres next year. They're going to have to bid up. So as far as front end, it's going to go whichever way the market goes in more pattern with the bigger expected yields. That's probably going to be absorbed more than basis than on the board.
No, I was going to stay with corn, but since you said it's going to go whichever way the market's going, maybe we better go with the wheat at this point. September wheat at $8.86 on their high. The low at $7.83 and a quarter. SEPs at $8.40. They were up 77 cents this week after making another new all-time contract high. July wheat at $5.93 and a half, though, for next year, down 7.5 cents. Which way is that market going to go?
Well, wheat's probably got some more upside. It had a short-term correction there mid-weekend through here, firmed up there on Friday. Our best guess is technically December futures could probably push this 859, 860 level. You don't have a cycle high due here until about September 12th. Overall demand still remains somewhat strong. You're starting to see some panic buying come in as guys come in and get some coverage on. And usually that's a sign we're close to a top.
You know, we should probably stay with the wheat for just a second. Paul, what's your assessment of that marketplace?
Well, of course, India is buying wheat for a strategic reserve, paying enormous prices for that privilege. Australia is getting some rain, but a pretty dry forecast as we left the market on Friday. Argentina's getting rain, and we understand that several major seed companies are sold out of soft red winter wheat. They're going to the farm bins and emptying them, and we are going to see an enormous acreage of soft red winter wheat planted in the United States, and I think hard red winter wheat's going to be very large as well.
Well, Todd, we did see something on Friday. We saw the nearby continue to gain and at a great pace, while we did see some real setbacks there as far as in the July wheat. So just what Paul and Kurt both said, we are seeing some of these acres being bought right now.
Well, if they're being bought and they're going to be planted and they're actually probably looking as much at the nearby as they are at the deferred, and we're losing a bit on the deferred, do they need to take some price protection at this point?
Do you mean the farmers, Todd, as
yes,
far as pricing?
I do.
Well, yes. I think this is a very good time. I think that there's two things the farmer ought to think about if he's planting wheat. Because it's at this price, he needs to lock in some of this price. And second of all, you know, at least in the areas a little bit north, they want to think very seriously about crop insurance to ensure this sort of level on their extra bushels. You remember they want to sell maybe the bushels they can't insure for a price protection level, at least at the elevator or cash or futures, and then at least have that crop insurance there, because what if they freeze out and you don't have anything?
You know, one other point here is that we did see this decoupling of old crop gaining on the new crop, and that showed up definitely on Friday. The other factor here is that if you don't want to take a chance on this nearby wheat or 2008 wheat, there is a 2009 contract, and somewhere along those lines, we will have a surplus of wheat again in the world.
It's kind of hard to get too aggressive selling forward, especially in cash, but there's several futures and option strategies you can use, you know, simple puts or some covered positions, but it's a big windfall for the farmer to go ahead and do something here, especially guys in the South. You can come back with some double crop beans, and that's just huge cash returns.
All right. So in the wheat, we're seeing the nearby leading. I think we're up 77.5 cents, as we already told you. July was down 7.5. Is there any concern that in the corn that's going to flip around on that, and we'll have the nearby start to fail fairly quickly, and that the deferred or next year December will drop rather rapidly? Corn futures, by the way, finished this week 340.25 on their high in the Septembers, the low at 319.75. A settlement price at 331.25. They were 7.25 higher for the nearby SEPs. December futures at 347.5 were up 7.5. So how do you take a look? And I'm going to use old crop and new crop now, as despite the fact that we've got an older crop left too. So will we have a difference in those prices? Will the old crop begin to fall while new crop stays higher?
Well, you know, that's a wonderful question. My opinion is that we won't worry about new crop in the actual cash world until the crop's put away. And, you know, we will see confirmation of this big yields and the transportation and the piling and the real transportation storage crunch, you know, in the next 45 days. You know, it was some rain forecasted this weekend, so people backed away. People were concerned about a weekend. You know, 9/11's coming around again. Crude oil prices were high. Wheat did have a good strung, and you put a lot of bearish news with these pre-guesstimates of these reports. So the rallies were basically on light volume. My hunch is when the carryout figures are this 1.6 to 1.9, you've got a lot of corn even to carry in the new crop 2008.
Kurt, your clientele all across the Midwest, and I'm wanting to know mostly about those in the northern part. I know in the South, in parts of central Illinois, that we're hearing all kinds of really big corn numbers. We haven't started corn harvest in the North just yet. Is that corn going to be just as happy with the wet feet that it's had as the corn maybe south of I-80 has been with being drier?
Well, somewhat there's optimism there, except for those individuals got hit by this high winds here through the northern belt. There's a lot of corn on the ground. You know, there's concern there, but there's some optimism even through Minnesota. Even though the crop got hammered there pretty hard, there's some ideas maybe it is a little better in what producers think. But we've got a ways to go. We'll get into it here in a few weeks, and we'll have some actual results as we get into late September.
Over at the Farm Progress Show at the AgriGold tent, we did talk and have some meetings, and I mentioned this concept about bidding for acres next year, and three or four people just shook their heads. And they came up to me after we had our conference, and individual conversation, and they said, I'm from Indianola, Iowa, and I plant corn on corn, and I like the game. I just don't see where you're coming from, and I mentioned that other areas of the country, they might plant wheat, they might plant beans, and the cost of fertilizer, but you know, some places in the country still are going to plant a lot of corn next year, no matter what, Todd.
Is Indianola right there in that central part, north central part of Iowa, is that right?
Just south of Des Moines, but there was people in north near the river in northern Illinois where you traditionally have rain every week of August, and you know, they're looking at a pretty good crop. The point is, though, that bidding for acres is a hard concept for some people in those real go-go areas.
I like to refer to that area over in Iowa as the tornado area around ISU. If you get just south of Des Moines and all the way up into Minnesota, and that's some good corn acreage over there. You start looking at the numbers that they harvest, and it's just unbelievable how much corn they can harvest in that part of Iowa. So let's take a look at some of the numbers you mentioned as they were coming out from the trade this week. Informa releasing its numbers. Numbers, FC Stone and Allendale all releasing numbers, 156, 157, 1. FC Stone was actually the low one at 152.9 on their average yield. What do you think about those numbers, Wayne Nelson?
Well, you know, a couple weeks ago we would have thought them either a little big, but as we've got into the field and hearing the yields and hearing what's going on out there, I don't think they are that big. I think that, well, they're still big numbers, of course, Todd, but I think they're more realistic, I guess, is the best way to put it. I think that what we've seen is these hybrids have improved immensely, and the genetics have got a lot of people through extra water and less water, and not enough as what we would have thought would have been a good crop 10 years ago. So I think these are probably realistic, and I think we've got a great big crop coming on, and I don't know where they're going to put it all.
So you're thinking the 13.3, 13.4 crop rather than the 13 billion, which FC Stone and the USDA are thinking about is where we're at?
I think at least somewhere in the middle between the probably the 154 average is probably more realistic.
How about you, Kurt?
I would say 53.5 to 54. As Wayne said, there's just some huge yields out there, and it's not everywhere, but there's enough out there to bring it up.
Well, I have a question about that because it's not everywhere, but everywhere I've heard so far, I don't know about the rest of you, but every place I've heard so far is, my gosh, they got to be running 50, 60 bushels better than they normally would. Anybody here, anybody that's got a yield they're disappointed in so far?
Well, there are some definite problems in Hopkinsville, Kentucky, and I've heard some Wayne City, Illinois areas, and, you know, Farina, that's a little bit under that magic 200 bushel to the acre mark. But, you know, there is some variability, but as a general rule, as it tips the scales, and it's a pretty good crop from A to Z. We are seeing a lot of variability, but it's a good year.
You know, Todd, every year we hear tremendous yields, and every year we hear very poor yields. So that's nothing new. The difference is this year we're hearing a lot of the very good yields, not just some of the very good yields. You know, if you just listen to the people at Columbus, Indiana, they've got 10 bushel beans and they got 80 bushel corn, and they're not very happy. But that was one of the areas that was hit bad by the weather. I talked to a seed corn dealer that did a test plot yesterday. The test plot averaged over 200 bushel, but there was 80 bushel difference between the top and the bottom one. And what had been the winner of the plot last year was come in the 80 bushel less than the top part of the plot. And it was just the time it pollinated, and that's how close it was in Clay County, Indiana, to not having a crop, and it pollinated first when it was still dry. So there are some good numbers, different places that are going to come in low, but there's some other numbers that are going to come in very strong.
All right, so let's go across and poll everybody, because I think most producers are going to be in this situation where they've got a good crop. They've got more crop than they expected. They're going to not have enough space to store it at this point. What do they do when they have to sell this across the scale at this point? Do they need to buy anything back? Do they just wait it out? Do they hope that October has a really low price and they manage to collect something out of their insurance? What are we doing?
Well, that's a tough one if you're forced to sell, because most of the gain is probably going to be in the basis from this fall into this winter, so it's tough to do it. But
well, I don't think everybody's going to be. I think they're going to have to sell, though.
Correct, and if that situation occurs, I think you need to do some type of replacement, because we feel that there's going to be some upward movement in the front end in this old crop, just the fact that we're going to go through this acre concern this winter. So there is going to be some recovery on the futures as we go into next March.
Two things, Todd. Number one, we're telling all of our customers that tell us they're having extra bushels to contact their local elevators, find out what their storage rates are going to be, and book it if it's reasonable. Number two, if they don't have storage and it isn't reasonable, we would like to re-own it. But we would like to re-own it with bull call spreads. But we want to go out to at least the March because we want to be able to get in that January, February time frame when we're going to be in the what we consider would be the best of the bidding war. If it happens before that, our March options are still going to be good and still react to it. But the DEIS options don't have to react to this bidding war we're going to get into.
You know, as far as the magic 200 bushels times $3, 200 bushels per acre yield plus times $3, my opinion is that we will see some cash grain move at that point in time. The problem is what happens when you get down to that 280, 275 mark on cash grain. You know, hopefully you got a bin to slap it into and the other debate is just some people are saying we'll see 7 million acres based on present market conditions less planted next year. I think that's a debate. It could only be like 3 to 5 million acres, and, you know, that's still going to be a tug of war to get prices to zoom much into that early spring planting time frame.
You know, if they've got no place to store, they can always visit the Midwestern Plan Center online. You can put 30,000 bushel, I think, fairly safely on the ground on your farm if you do it right, but it's got to be a pile that big. It's Midwestern Plan Center. Just search that under Google. Soybean, September's 899.5, the high, the low at 872.5. Their settlement price at 891. They were up 23 from last week. November beans 905.25 were up 22.75. Is this the one nobody really knows what to do with at this point, where it's headed, what's going to happen, how the ground war will actually work out at this point?
Well, it's kind of tough right now. Bean demand is good. Early yield expectations are probably not as optimistic as the corn. You look at the average trade guess for next week's report. It's up 20 million bushel, but We feel the weather played havoc with the bean crop, too wet in the north, too dry in the south, and we'd be surprised if we see any increase in bean production on the next report.
Paul, we heard Wayne say a 10-bushel bean crop, I think. Is that what you told us, Wayne?
In Columbus, Indiana, not through the whole area. That was just from one of our crop insurance adjusters.
I understand, but that's the only number I've heard from on beans at all.
Anyway. Oh, no. We've had some beans. I mean, local farmers that have done whole fields and run across the scale, and they're probably averaging right around the 50 mark. Upper 40s, lower 50s is where most of them are coming in over there. And that's probably four bushel less than last year, but, I mean, still good yields.
My impression is the farmer will sell $8 beans times 50 easier and more readily than he will sell the corn. The general feeling is that, you know, you're raising these big crops and people still look in their rearview mirror and see Brazil and Argentina, which traditionally like to raise soybeans.
Let's go through the rest of the numbers, and then we'll talk to Aaron Curtis. That'll happen in just 2 minutes. Live cattle over at the Mercantile Exchange, a 96.10 settlement price. They were down 80 with a top of 98.35 and a bottom at 96.05. The feeders at 118.5 were down 130 for the day. And the week, lean hogs futures at $68, the high price. The low at $65.65 for the Octobers, and they settled at $66.30. They were down 52. September oats, by the way, at $253.5 for the week, were up 11.5 cents.
I'm Steve Hilberg with the Midwestern Regional Climate Center located at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. The month of September got off to a hot but otherwise uneventful start. Temperatures early in the week soared into the 90s again, with the only compensation being that the dew points were in the 50s, so we didn't have to deal with humid conditions. The dry air also allowed temperatures to fall quickly once the sun went down, and the cool nights offset the unseasonably warm days. As a result, temperatures this week averaged only 2 to 3 degrees above normal. Temperatures moderated by midweek as cloudiness associated with a disturbance to the south of Illinois began to spread northward. As the southerly winds increased, so did the moisture, and by Thursday, scattered showers and thundershowers dotted central and southern Illinois. Showers and thunderstorms will hang around in Illinois through the weekend, finally departing the area on Tuesday behind a strong cold front. Storms developing ahead of the cold front should bring rain to most of Illinois. At this time, it appears the heaviest rain, which could amount to an inch or more, will likely fall across the southern third of Illinois, where it is really needed. Large sections of southern Illinois received less than an inch of rain during the entire month of August, so this will be welcome. With northwest flow the remainder of the week after the front moves through on Monday night or Tuesday, temperatures will run near to below normal the rest of the week. For the Midwestern Regional Climate Center in Champaign, I'm Steve Hilberg.
And I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Actually, you're listening to Commodity Week. This is WILL AM 580. Our panelists today are Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing out of Normal, Illinois, Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois, and Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. Our guest is Aaron Curtis, Midco in Bloomington, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Aaron. We appreciate you being with us.
Well, thank you, Todd. Good afternoon to you, too.
I have a question for you. I want you to deal with freight for me along the river and tell me what's been happening with freight cost and how you view it.
Well, we've seen a tremendous run-up just this week. You know, we had the Illinois River trading up to, 800% of tariffs, St. Louis up approaching 1,000% of tariffs here this week as we see, Southern Harvest continuing to not allow too many barges to move very far north. Now, we did see a little bit of rain down through the southern areas of the Delta here, which is, cut off a little bit of that harvest, so we actually did see barge freight move back down here a little bit late in the week. St. Louis had about a 200% trading range this week, and Illinois about 150%. So obviously been very volatile, but we did settle back down here a little bit late in the week here.
Aaron, I got a quick three-part question, and the first one's a yes or no. Have we seen the season's low in corn yet?
No.
Okay, the next one is, what's your best guess on the futures low price and the cash price this season?
Well, I still think that, we're going to be able to hold these corn right above this $3 level. I think somewhere between 310 and 320 maybe. Cash flow, I can still think if we get into the glut of harvest here and continuing to see these yields we're seeing now, I can continue to see maybe this basis, widen out a little bit. We've seen a little bit of an improvement here just in the nearby here as we try to get through this, especially in Decatur as we see a little bit of a gap here between the end of the user's needs here and also getting to where we get more of the glut part of harvest here. But I can continue to see as we struggle to put some of this away in some areas, we could probably see a little lower basis area in some areas.
How low? What are you talking about, 280, 270, 250?
Well, you got Decatur here today for October trading at, 30 under the D's. So that's around 317, 318. So, if we back down into 310, 320, we might be able to see the basis move back down to, lose another 10, 15 cents there probably pretty easily once we get into the guts of our harvest. So, maybe 275, 280, somewhere in that area.
And, of course, that's elevator price, too, Aaron.
Right, and then, of course, you got to take your margin off the elevator price here, too, so.
Aaron, what do you think about the bean market here? We saw a big bounce back on Friday, a little bit unexpected in a lot of notions that way. How about the beans? Have they bottomed, or how high can they go, or how low can they go?
Well, I think we're maybe closer to seeing a little bit of a bottom here, especially if we get into some harvest here and start to see some disappointing yields. I think yields are going to be highly variable. Talking to some of our southern Illinois customers, they're not expecting much bean yields there. I talked to one guy here east of St. Louis who did a bean field and ran about mid-20s and expecting especially some of these stubble beans probably just not to average very well here. So, continuing to see maybe a little bit better, a little closer maybe to seeing a little low in the bean market. I think that the beans are going to be one of the leaders here as we move through the winter on trying to lose acres because obviously if you look at carryout projected, out to next year, you can obviously get in a pretty tight situation pretty quickly, so I think we're going to see that lead the charge here.
Aaron, you mentioned more downside risk maybe on some basis. Is there some upside potential coming later on this winter, you think?
Or? I think there is. I think we can see some. Once we get this thing put away typically, and I think the farmer is going to be pretty tight holders, once he gets some bills paid and maybe sell some overrun, on some corn. But I think we're going to see the farmer be pretty tight-fisted, I think, as he reads more and more advisory services out there. He's getting fairly friendly as we get into this acreage battle. So I think once we get that situation cleared up, I think we can see some typical normal improvement in basis levels as we move through the first of the year.
Aaron, could you give us your perception of percent sold on corn and soybeans and any ideas of when your country elevators feel they'll do the next round of selling?
Well, I think going into this year, we've got a bigger percentage of corn sold than we have the last few years. So I think farmers overall are pretty comfortable with where they're at percentage-wise going into this year, which I think will encourage him to store even more. And I think just talking to him, I think we're going to have to see some sort of a pretty good-sized rally in the corn market to increase those sales. I think, you know, back in the 1st of August, we had a lot of our customers together, and I think, you know, the $4 number was one number that continued to be thrown out there after we've seen it a couple times already this summer. You know, that's a number I think that we're going to have to approach in order to see some large quantities of old crop corn selling.
Well, I have a question on that to follow up. How long are we talking about February at this point for that kind of number? I mean, it just seems to me that there's an awful lot of corn and an infrastructure that's going to be stressed pretty hard. It's already been put under stress, as we've seen in freight, because they've been using those barges in the south to move the corn out. We'll have a huge crop here that we've got to either move out or store somewhere. So how long before you think we might see that kind of price tag?
Well, I'm not necessarily saying we're going to go there, Todd. I think that's what the number that a lot of farmers are going to have in mind here as we move through the winter, just because we've seen it one time and they're kind of kicking themselves a little bit because they didn't sell more. But, you know, I think as we move through the winter, depending on, you know, what this acreage debate is, I would think by, you know, that March time frame when we get in close to the planting intentions report and get ready to put some seed back in the ground, you're going to see some more producer selling as we move through the springtime.
Aaron, tell us what you think about the new crop wheat. Should farmers be selling here, holding here, or what should they be doing if they're thinking about planting wheat?
I think you got to have some kind of price mechanism in play, especially if you're going to increase your acres, which what we're seeing, you know, down south. I think these are too good of prices to be passing up. And, you know, historically when we see these you know, price spikes, when you look back at a long-term chart, they're quickly followed by a downturn in the market because, you know, it seems like, you know, somewhere in the country, every day they're either harvesting or planting wheat, not in the country, but somewhere in the world. So I think, you know, we're going to react to these prices just like we did to $4 corn, you know, this spring. So I think from a producer standpoint, if you're planning on putting a large share of wheat in the ground, I think you have to have some kind of pricing mechanism in place.
Aaron, we appreciate you being with us for the day.
Thank you, Todd.
Aaron Curtis is with Midco out of Bloomington, Illinois. Now, a final word from our panelists. We'll start with you, Kirk Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing.
We continue to believe to stay flexible. There's going to be some better bids down the road, and you got to have the capability to take advantage of it, and above all, be safe this fall.
Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities.
We agree with Aaron. We think if you are going to plant wheat, let's get some of it priced.
And Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services.
Be safe. It's going to be a long harvest, and give the farmer a little extra elbow room out there on the highways.
And we'd like time to thank you for listening. That is this edition of Commodity Week, something to keep in mind. You can access Commodity Week and all our programming, or most of it, on our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find weekly analysis and cash grain reports as well as weather reports, all at willag.org. I'm Todd Gleason.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Commodity Week is made possible with support from AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for representative nearest you. Commodity Week is a production of listener-supported public radio at the University of Illinois. To learn more, visit us online at willuiuc.edu.